Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Social media has found a whole bunch of new problems that many people never thought of. And it turns out that if you leave a bad review on Yelp or Google or someplace like that of a business, there's a good chance that the business might sue you. Not every business will, but some businesses will. And there are some people who will. It's often professionals we hear about, doctors and so on. And so there's an interesting case that just happened. Keith tipped me off the story from techdirt.com. Mike Masnick wrote it. And a court actually pushed back against somebody who wanted to file a lawsuit over a bad Yelp review. And the court actually said, you know something? You can't sue just because someone says something bad about you. There are rules that define what libel is or what defamation is. And you can't just sue somebody because your feelings are hurt. And so this is good news for people who believe in free speech. Don't know what else to call it. But court, just because an anonymous Yelp reviewer is mean, doesn't mean you get to unmask the reviewer. And that's the issue here, is that Yelp lets people post things, but the person's identity is not posted. So to sue the person who posted the Yelp review, someone's got to go to Yelp and say, tell us who this person is, if you know. And Yelp actually says, no, we don't want to give that information up without a court order. So the guy goes to court, asks for a court order, and the judge looks at it and goes, no, you can't get one here. You can't get the court order allowing you to unmask the anonymous reviewer because they didn't libel you. They wrote something mean that you didn't like. So what? Grow up. There's a doctor who's built up a reputation for suing people who leave bad reviews on Yelp. He says he's already won or reached settlements with three reviewers, forcing them to take down reviews and to pay undisclosed amounts of money. Now, he says the reviews were false, and that is actually the problem. The question is, did somebody say something about you that was false, that was objectively, provably false, or was it a subjective opinion that cannot be measured? Okay? And so the distinction here is 2 + 2 = 4. That is objectively true. 5 is a big number. Is a subjective statement. It may or may not be true. Depends on the context. Okay? So you might say, but Steve, when is 5 a big number? Well, how many wives does that man have? 5. Okay, that's a problem. He's got too many. That's a big number. The doctor, was able to get courts to force Yelp to turn over the names of anonymous reviewers in the past, and therefore, he thought he could do it again, and so he's continued going after reviewers who leave him bad reviews. However, in a recent case, a court has pushed back on this man's attempt to unmask an anonymous Yelp review. This was another case where the doctor had gone to court, and here is what the review said. I'm going to read to you the review of the doctor verbatim. Worst experience I've ever had. Woke up looking like a monster. Cheap product, and he's absolutely not experienced, nor does he care. Now, interestingly, there are a couple things here that come close to the line of things that could be measurably true or false. But worst experience I've ever had. Well, we don't know what kind of life this person's led. Maybe they've had worse experiences. Maybe they haven't. How do you define the worst experience you've ever had? Woke up looking like a monster. Hey, we've all had those days. Cheap product. Well, he's a doctor. And I don't even know what you mean by cheap. Do you mean inexpensive or low quality? Or what? Cheap product. And he's absolutely not experienced. Well, you know, the question is, what does experienced mean? I remember 20 years ago when I had 10 years of experience as an attorney. I felt I was experienced. Now, 20 years after that, when I've got 30 years of experience, I look at the people with 10 years of experience and go, you call that experience? It's all relative. He's not experienced, nor does he care. He doesn't care. Okay. And the question, of course, is how would you measure care? Does this man care? He cares enough to sue you for having an opinion. Yelp went to court and defended this and actually said, we're not going to give this information unless the court orders us to. And they argued that the statement is not defamatory because there are no statements of fact which could be disproven or proven, true or false. These are all opinions. Worst experience, looked like a monster, referring to themselves. Cheap product, not experienced, doesn't care. These are all clearly opinions. And thankfully, a recent New York court agreed and rejected the doctor's attempts to unmask the reviewer. And there's a long court ruling on this, and I actually read the court ruling, and it's very, very densely written. It came down on the correct side, but it's not as clear as I would like it to have been for me to actually get into an in-depth analysis of it here. But the court wrote and said, anonymous internet speech is protected by the First Amendment. Anonymous speech is not unlimited, however, and the degree of scrutiny varies depending on the circumstances and the type of speech at issue. They talk about a case called Highlands, and a party seeking enforcement of a subpoena, in this case, must first make out a real evidentiary basis for believing that the defendant has engaged in wrongful conduct that has caused real harm to the interests of the plaintiff. So here the question is, whether or not they could actually prove, referring to the doctor, that this was libel. This was defamation. The statement, worst experience I ever had, woke up looking like a monster, cheap product, not experienced, doesn't care. And the court looks at this and said, that's not a prima facie case for defamation. So if the plaintiff made the case, the court then would assess and compare the magnitude of the harms that would be caused, with respect to the defendant's commercial interests, and goes on and on and on. But the problem is that the initial complaint failed to meet the standard of claiming defamation because all of those statements that were made in the review were clearly opinions. So the complaint's defamation claim arises under New York law, apparently. The elements of a cause of action for defamation are a false statement that tends to expose a person to public contempt, hatred, ridicule, aversion, or disgrace, published without privilege or authorization, amounted to fault as judged by, at a minimum, a negligence standard, and either causing special harm or constituting defamation per se. But statements of opinion are not actionable. An opinion cannot be proven false and therefore does not give rise to liability for defamation purposes. So the court comes out and says that what happened here does not rise to the level of defamation because these statements are clearly opinions and you can't say they're true or false. If the person believed they were true and they're stating an opinion, most people are going to read that and go, that's just somebody's opinion. So the doctor here argued that two of the claims that the doctor's not experienced and that he uses cheap products are actionable statements of fact. And that's, when I read it, my first thought was, well, not experienced sounds like a statement of fact, and cheap products sounds like it could be. But then you realize, what's cheap mean? What's cheap? Is this a cheap pen? You know? Well, there are pens that cost less. There's pens that cost more. What's your opinion of cheap? I love these pens, by the way. If you ever buy a book from me and I sign it, it'll be signed in blue ink with this pen or a pen just like it. But that's another story altogether. So what's cheap mean? And it obviously does not have an objectively measurable meaning. So this argument about the cheap products and lack of experience is unpersuasive because where some of the statements are based on undisclosed, unfavorable facts known to the writer, the disgruntled tone, anonymous posting, and predominant use of statements that cannot be definitively proven true or false supports the finding that the challenged statements are only susceptible of a non-defamatory meaning grounded in opinion. Because plaintiffs had not made a prima facie case of defamation, their request for the identity of the John Doe defendant is improper and denied. Go home. take your law books, and go home. And so this is a problem in our day and age, because if they can find out who you are, they can sue you. And the average person faced with a lawsuit by somebody who's got deep pockets, and they say, take that review down or I'm going to sue you. And by the way, I'm suing you anyways, but take the review down or I'm going to seek more money. And if you take it down, I'll take less money. And he claimed apparently that he had gotten money from people and gotten them to take down reviews. So the question is, where are you posting? And is the place that you're posting going to step up and defend you or just roll over and give the information up? And that's a concern. So I understand there's ways out there to be anonymous on the internet. I understand there's places you can post opinions where you probably won't get outed. But the concern is that some places like Yelp, if they had to, push comes to shove, they could identify you with enough certainty to where a plaintiff could come after you and sue you and try to get you to remove the review and try to get you to pay some money. And the man's claimed he's accomplished it in the past, and he tried it again, and this time he got shot down. So the good news is that the court is right, and the good news is that Yelp stood up and defended this. I personally, I don't check Yelp. I don't check. I've just heard too many stories about people posting stuff on Yelp, and I know that there's some people out there say, Steve, if I'm in a new town, I'm visiting a town I've never been to, okay, and I want to go to a restaurant. So I type into the search engine and I say, show me Italian restaurants. And there's 17 of them. Okay, 17 Italian restaurants, some town I've never been to. How do I know which one is good? They say, they'll go to Yelp. And they'll look at Yelp. And I've had people tell me, they go, Steve, here's what I do. I don't read all the good reviews. I don't read all the bad reviews. I skim and try to get a feeling for what kind of reviews they get. And based on that, some kind of osmosis, I can then determine which restaurant to go to. The problem, of course, is you don't know which reviews are fake. You don't know which reviews are put up by shills who've been asked to put up good reviews or friends of the owner. You don't know which reviews are put up by disgruntled employees. You don't know. And so I'm not saying that it's wrong to use it. I'm just saying I personally am not too crazy about the idea because of the fact that I don't know who these people are. And so if you're a doctor and somebody gives you a bad review, and your first knee-jerk response is, I want to find out who they are and sue them, you might be doing your business the wrong way, okay? Because if somebody was actually so inclined to write a bad review of you after you worked on them, maybe you should find out why they're disgruntled and see if you can't work something out with them or resolve the issue. And anybody who's ever been in any form of business has seen unhappy customers and unhappy patients, unhappy clients, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes they're crazy. Sometimes they actually have got a very valid complaint. And don't get me wrong, it might not be possible to make everyone happy. It might not be. But I guess I just question if this guy's time wouldn't be better spent finding out who the people are who are so inclined to badly review him on Yelp. And instead of suing them and trying to chalk up another victory in the courtroom, perhaps talk to them in a consulting room at your office and find out why they're really unhappy and see if there's anything you can do about it. But that's just me. So this is a great article. It's a great win for free speech. And it's, in my mind, something we should salute Yelp for, because Yelp could have just rolled over and given these people up. But I think that Yelp recognizes that there's a value in having people feel that they can be honest and put up reviews without having to worry about being sued because they posted an opinion that somebody might not like. So for those of you out there who are still wondering about this, the reason that this is not actionable is because the statements that were made about the doctor posted on Yelp appear mostly to be opinions. And I'm allowed to have an opinion about you. You can have an opinion about me. You can post your opinion about me as long as you make statements that are not objectively, measurably false. Okay? And so that is the point. And here the statements were, Worst experience I've ever had. Woke up looking like a monster. Cheap product. He's absolutely not experienced, nor does he care. And those are all opinions for which you cannot be sued when you post that to Yelp. So Tech Dirt published the article by Mike Masnick. Quote, just because an anonymous Yelp reviewer is mean doesn't mean you get to unmask the reviewer. Keith Sennett, thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Don't resist change. If you do, you will turn happiness to sorrow.